come my way. May we never ever shed another tear for today. 'Cause oh, I know that there'll be better days.
Welcome back to the 2 Mutts podcast presented by Manscaped. I'm your host, Joshua Marshall. I'm with Clay Vanderham. Vandy, how's it going?
Vandy is dandy, and you two are a sight for sore eyes. I haven't seen you guys in a while.
Yeah, it's been about a month.
So. Holy moly, looking good, looking good.
We got Brody McIntyre. Brodes, how's it going?
I'm doing very well, Bosco. You're looking pretty handsome with your beard, pal. You're looking good. Matches the drapes there on the wall behind you.
Yeah,
good. Exactly. I can barely see you.
Yeah, good old camp life. Got the old iPad out, recording the podcast with the boys here. So, yeah, we're back in business. Trade deadline today. Not a whole lot busy got done, but most of it seemed all the big stuff got done the night before. Bros, we'll start with you. Thoughts on the Taylor Hall trade as he goes to the Boston Bruins?
I think it's a good deal for Boston, obviously. I heard Rashog actually talking about how they're pretty hamstrung as to what they could do because Hall basically went to them and said, trade me to Boston Bruins. That's the only place I'm going. So obviously that limits your return.
Yeah.
Then you get on Twitter and you just see Edmontonians just going batshit crazy over it. But when you look at his numbers, he has, excluding opening night, he has one goal this season. And he makes way too much amounts of money. So what are you going to get for him? Obviously, nobody's given him a first for a guy with one goal. I'm sure he obviously has a good pedigree, and I'm sure he'll turn it around. But he is what he is. Like, I saw a bunch of stats. Cassian in the last 3 years has more goals than him.
Yeah.
That's a crazy two more goals than him. I would have never guessed that.
Yeah.
Well, the reality is he's not that great anymore. He has 29 goals in the last three seasons. Cassian at 31. That's a fact. That's not made up. So good for him to get up. I do hope he turns it around a little bit here and can get off the schneid and go play a second fiddle, right? And go be a second liner and go be a good player again.
Yeah, play with David Krejci if they finally get that winger. So, Vandy, thoughts on that move? You know, it was obviously Carlos Lazar is involved in that move too. So
yeah, there's a little bit of a local connection there. I mean, ex-Oil King. You know, I saw the meme on Twitter where it's a Will Smith in the empty room at the last episode of Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, and it said Jack Eichel right now. He's looking around going, what? I guess, you know, did Buffalo eat salary on that?
I think there was 25%, I believe, or something like that. Yeah. Or sorry, 50%. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, Boston had to do it. I think Boston needs D more than they need a forward, but if you can land a guy like Hall and he can, you know, if he steps in right away, plays that second line, then, by all means, you got to do it. Plus, I think Hall's publicly said that he, you know, he would have preferred to go to Boston or not preferred to go. I'm ad-libbing there, but he would have liked it to play in Boston because Bobby Orr was his agent and all that. But anyway, it's a good deal for Boston. Obviously, you got to take it if it's available, and they're going to be in the hunt again this year. So.
Yeah, no, they. It was surprised how badly they got beat last night against the Caps. That was a bit of a shocker. You don't often see the Boston Bruins lose that badly.
Caps are rolling, boy.
Yeah, they sure are. So,
I got a stat for you guys. Ready for this? Sorry before you carry on.
Yeah, go ahead.
Over the last three seasons, these players in order, most goals to least goals: Chiasson, Petrie, Cassian, Ennis, Cahoon, Archibald, Taylor Hall.
What?
Like, wow. That's crazy, right?
Yeah, that's wild. Especially the amount of minutes that Taylor Hall
that's
does.
That's a big drop. Like,
yeah.
Okay, so where – I can't remember. Where was he before Buffalo?
He was in Arizona for a bit.
Arizona.
Right?
And there. Obviously New Jersey.
Like, holy. I don't know. I mean, Trevor and I both have come on. We've said – what we think of them. And I think, like I say, I think there's more than just, I think there's an off ice issue there. if you will, without calling out somebody's character. But
yeah, you know what? Like, I know that's been brought up. Like, I dealt with him at a nightclub here in Edmonton for, you know, many years. I'm BC right now, but, you know, living in Edmonton, he was always nice to me, you know, but I've just personally never seen the stuff that happened. But I do know there was turmoil between him and some people in the Oilers organization who aren't in the organization anymore. So, you know, and I know that was media driven by some, but yeah, it's interesting, you know. But you take that all the way, and James Myrtle from The Athletic put out a tweet about a week ago and said Taylor Hall, for Hart Trophy winners, he has the lowest winning percentage as a player in NHL history for a player that's won.
And that's what I meant by off ice stuff. Whatever. Yeah. That's when you're 18, 19. I'm talking, you know, and even for the fact that he knew Buffalo's, you know, hands were tied, and he still said, for him to, you know, tell them, if that story is true, for him to tell them, I'll only go to Boston. I don't know. To me, that speaks volumes of the kind of person he is, character he has.
Yeah.
You know, if you really,
it's hard to shake that too, right?
Like, that's, and like, that, and like, yeah,
Brody said, like, you, like, you think Taylor Hall got traded not for a first round pick. Like, that is often, you know, like, that's pretty hard, you know, like, to me, to take that to, you know, to your ego as a hockey player, that's not something you'd often see from a guy that won a Hart Trophy, but it's just been declining. The move to Buffalo was a head scratcher, in my opinion. I don't think it did anything for him.
That was a money thing.
Yeah.
That was the only team willing to pay him, I bet you.
Yeah, probably was. Yeah.
Let's move away from this. That wasn't even the biggest trade, in my opinion.
Yeah. Well, thoughts on the shocker to me was the Anthony Mantha trade today. So, you know, Jacob Verana's involved in that deal too. So, you know, I guess quick thoughts on that, Andy, here as I break it down. So,
listen,
So it's Anthony Mantha goes to the Washington Capitals for Richard Ponick and Jacob Verana, first round pick in 2021 and a second round pick in 2022. So, quite the haul for Anthony Mantha.
Well, I just said the Caps are rolling. They're heading in, and then they trade, you know, a pivotal part of their run a couple of years ago with Verana and Panic. I can't remember where he played, but anyway, obviously somebody sees something in Mantha, that the first, a second, and then two roster player, like, that's crazy.
Yeah, and that's it. There's nothing else went back the other way. Like, it was, here you go. Like, this is what the trade is. And Mantha is making $5.7 million. So, you know, I think he's a great player when he's healthy. That guy can put the puck in the net. He can shoot the pill. He's big. He's strong. You know, Brode's thoughts on that deal. That just adds to the depth that the Capitals can do now too, right? The damage.
It's got to be – is his contract up or something, Mantha's? Because looking at it, Verana has – last season had 52 points and then had 25 this year. And Mantha had 38 last year and 21 this year. So Verana's got more points. Obviously, he's with a lot better players in Washington, but he's better statistically.
Yeah.
Plus, it's got to be money, right? It's got to be something. He wants a bunch of cash, or he needed out or something, because –
well,
that's a great haul by Detroit.
He just signed. He's on a first-year deal four-year deal at $22.8 million is what Mantha is getting right now. So he just signed this new deal. You know, that you often don't see that, a young player. You don't
see that at all. That's random.
Yeah.
Maybe there's more to it.
Yeah, 26 years old, you know. Maybe. So he's, you know, obviously he's been in the league a while, 2013 draft. First round, 20th overall. So, it definitely, when I saw that come across the ticker at lunch break here, obviously I was catching things later in the day as you guys were catching things probably live. I was like, whoa, that's a player.
You think that's a deal that down the road might, you know,
hurt the Wings?
Hurt the Wings, but where McClellan, I think it's Brian McClellan who's in Washington.
Yeah.
He's the GM and Stevie
correct,
Y. Yeah. You think that's something that maybe down the road they're going, okay, here, we'll do this for you now, but Stevie, you're going to be, you're going to pay me back.
I think that does happen, Andy. I think there's a solid here. You do us a solid now, we owe you a favor, you know.
But this kid isn't happy here, whatever it is, he wants to, you know, give him a, he's a good kid, give him a chance to win, whatever.
Yeah.
And you know, that's a lot to give up.
Yeah.
It's a big favor.
Yeah, Jacob Brown is going to be an RFA at the end of this year, so he's a year younger.
He's going to get paid.
Yeah, so he's I think, you know, Panic's just a depth. He's a depth player, bottom six player that's going to, you know, provide it some goals here and there. He was decent in Toronto, so that was an interesting one. Move on to the Jeff Carter one. I really, really like the Jeff Carter trade to the Pittsburgh.
That's the biggest
Penguins.
To me, the biggest trade.
Because I think like the Penguins are rolling without Malkin, and I think a rejuvenated Carter, and Carter's, you know, he's had a horrible year, but you know, gets reunited with Crosby. You know, he's won in the past with him on the international stage. So, you know, I think that's going to be good for them. Great trade, Broads.
Oh, it's fabulous. Like, you're going to go into the playoffs with Crosby. And the coach looks down the bench. Okay, you're next, Malkin. Okay, Jeff Carter, you're next. Like,
yeah,
they're stacked down the middle, and he's not going to forget how to play in the playoffs.
No,
he's going to be an absolute horse in the playoffs.
Yeah.
He's going to shut down whoever he's playing with, and he's going to chip in. He'll probably fight one time. It's an absolutely fantastic ad, and that screams Brian Burke to me. I know he's El Presidente, but don't tell me he wasn't all over that.
Yeah, no, exactly. And obviously there's two picks there, a third rounder and a fourth rounder that are conditional. So, you know, you didn't give up a first or a second round pick. So still good in my books. Like, I really, really like that trade. I really like that trade a lot. So, and then obviously the other one, Nick Foligno going to the Toronto Maple Leafs, part of a three-way trade. Toronto loses tonight as we're recording tonight. So that, the hot run they had, the Habs come back with a strong win here. And, you know, thoughts on Nick Foligno going to Toronto, Broads?
It's almost identical to Pittsburgh to me. They're going to roll out Matthews, then Tavares, and then Foligno. Like, Foligno, same thing as Jeff Carter. He's, you know, probably getting a fight. He's going to be a third line, probably the best third line center, him and Jeff Carter, in my opinion.
Yeah.
In the playoffs. He's made for the playoffs, right? He's going to check. He's going to score. He's going to penalty kill. He's going to do it all. That is a fabulous ad in my mind. Like, to me, that puts Toronto, I mean, they're always a really good team, don't get me wrong, but that takes them up big, big step in my books.
And especially because of Case Tavares and obviously Matthews has had injury troubles this year, you lose one of those guys in a playoff series or for a game or two, you know, it's much better when you look at your depth and say, okay, say if Matthews is out, you got Tavares, now you got Foligno instead of Tavares and Pierre Engvall is your second line center. So, great, great, great move there. You know, they made a couple other depth moves with David Rittich, and, you know, they also got Ben Hutton today too. That was another depth player. And, you know, so
they play defense in their team in the playoffs there, Bosco. That's my biggest issue.
Yeah,
are they going to keep the puck out of the net?
You know what? I don't. This year, they've definitely gotten better. That third pairing has kind of been more or less their problem. Like, Zach Bogosian, he's been good. You know, he has pretty much played almost every single game. I think he's missed one. It's just Ben Hutton. I don't like Ben Hutton as a player. Like, I just don't think that's a great ad. So, I would have liked them to get, you know, I like what the Oilers did on Dmitry Kulikov. I would like that depth player a lot better than Hutton. But yeah, you make a good point there. It's you know, playoffs is going to be a tough one. And, you know, Bob McKenzie was on with us earlier and he talked about Justin Hall, and, you know, sometimes Justin Hall looks good at times in a top four, but then sometimes he doesn't look good. And I thought maybe getting another right shot defenseman should have been their thing, but, you know, Ben Hutton's a lefty. Bandy, thoughts?
Well, I think, you know, the Leafs really haven't gone on a run. And I think this year they're going to, you know, they're definitely set up to do that. And I think this is where you get a coming out party for Justin Hall and that, and give him some minutes. I think you need those type of defensemen, Ben Hutton being one of them.
Yeah.
Big, strong. And then what Toronto does up front, you know, Riley Nash had a little grit, you know, a little sandpaper, not that they didn't, that those other guys don't, Engvall and those other guys don't have it. And then you got Nick Foligno, but I think if you're in that dressing room, obviously Dubas is talking to all the guys and saying it, but if you're in that dressing room, you see what he's done. It gets a little pep in your step. Obviously they didn't have it tonight, but
it comes back to even what Rhodes just said too, on the fact that they lost Jake Muzzin in the playoffs last year and they could not stop the cycle. They couldn't stop defending. And that's one defenseman, but when they lost Muzzin, that was a big loss for them. And, you know, maybe getting TJ Brody and he's got the playoff experience, but it's a good question. And that's going to be the test. Like, you know, I would have liked to see them do a little bit more, but you know, Alex Galchenyuk's come in and he's been pretty decent for them so far. You know,
I think he found a home.
He did. And they did.
I think I think he's found a home on that his second line, I assume. Yeah.
Yeah. He's on the second line. Like,
yeah.
William Nylander's still out with COVID protocol. So, you know, they're missing him tonight, but it's, it's still a thing, still an issue. And until he can get over that hump, it's going to be a question mark. And obviously, Jack Campbell loses tonight for the first time this year. And that David Rittich trade pretty much smells like Freddie Anderson's probably not coming back this year. And he could, but no news is, they say, good news, but it just seems weird that he has not stepped on the ice since I think it was the 19th of March. So that's quite the haul for quite the gap for him not being on the ice, Brody.
Do you worry about Campbell and Nett? Because to me,
he's injury prone, right? It.
Yeah. Andrew, pardon me.
He's injury prone and he's never done it. So I am definitely worried. Do I think Toronto can, you know, like I don't know what the plan is for David Rittich. If it's come in and they give him, you know, I don't know how much quarantine he's going to have to do from, you know, Calgary to Toronto and all that. I know they play the Flames tomorrow night in Toronto, but it is what it is there. But seeing, you know, that trade, it's tough. Like I'm not putting all my eggs in Campbell's basket. Why not? There,
Jordan Binnington. That's your only option, buddy.
Yeah.
Binnington did it.
And if David Rittich is not the answer,
no.
Look,
Binnington did it 3 years ago, guys.
Yeah.
Whenever St. Louis won the Cup.
Yeah.
So I mean, he's paid his dues in the minors, and now he's, you know, he's catching, whether if he's just catching lightning in a bottle or if, I mean, he's a first round draft pick.
Yeah.
So we forget that, right? Like he's going to be a solid. He's proven.
They're obviously going to give him the keys to the car here and let him run.
Why not?
And if Freddie Anderson comes back, we'll see what happens. But Freddie Anderson has not looked good in the past year and a half. And in the playoffs, when it's a game five, again, obviously against Columbus, or the past game sevens against Boston, he just hasn't been able to get it done. You know, I'm not going to blame that game six against Washington on him. Like, they weren't even supposed to make the playoffs that year. It is what it is. The fact that they even got Washington to six games, I thought was, you know, a step in the right direction. But the 3 years after that have not been good enough. So, and they have not won a playoff series since 2004. So we'll see what happens. But just before we move on to some NHL, more NHL news and notes, we just want to pass on, we posted this on our social media the other day. So we're doing a fundraiser here for the next few months. Our sponsors have stepped up. So we're donating 100% of our proceeds to our hoodies, to Jamie Parsons, who is a safety officer that I work with. He had a medical problem and he's on the recovery right now, but it's a long road. So he has two kids, his wife, they're all looking after him. The wife is not working as she looks after him. And Jamie obviously is not working. And no income's coming in. So we're donating, our hoodies are $40. $20 goes to Jamie and his family, and the other $20 is going to go to a friend of the podcast, Kobe Cave, passed away a year ago yesterday. He's got the Kobe Cave Memorial Fund that's set up with the Edmonton Oilers that's on the front of mental health initiatives, and also helps out with kids that are underprivileged that don't have the funds to get hockey equipment and get in the skates and get on the ice. So we're going to donate our proceeds to those causes. So you can email me at jmarshall@7893@gmail.com to make a order, and we'll send you a hoodie, and all the shipping will be free. And we can also deliver it in Edmonton. If other people are listening across Canada, we'll mail that for free too. So it's pretty crazy. We're at already over $4,000, and we just did this 24 hours ago. So it is moving quickly.
Awesome.
Nice work, Bosco.
Yeah. Oh, no, it's our thanks to our sponsors, Manscaped, Shatified, Pete's Concrete, Swiss Stone Air, for all jumping in on this and helping us out. And even the company that supplies our hoodies, Creative Designs here, has helped out too. So we want
to
thank them all. And, you know, it's up here in BC, it's almost every second person's going to be wearing a Too Much Podcast hoodie. So as Vandy's wearing his tonight as we record. So yeah, just I want to pass that along. And thanks for the support. First 24 hours has been pretty crazy. So obviously we're at $4,000 total. So $2,000 to Kobe Cave Memorial Fund and $2,000 to Jamie Parsons' family. So, and Jamie. So switch gears to the Edmonton Oilers. They don't do a whole lot, Brody, but thoughts on the move that they did make today? What's your thoughts on Kulikov coming to Edmonton?
Going back a few years, I thought the Oilers should have, when they were thinking about moving him, I thought he was a guy the Oilers should have picked up. I don't see a lot out of him being out in the East, so I did look him up. He has a whopping 2 assists this year. I know it's not about points, but apparently I listened to the radio and he was with Subban for the whole year, so basically he had to just defend.
Yeah.
Clean up behind Subban, basically, right? Which is exactly. Fine. That's good, right? Him and Barry might work out really well together. I think it's probably just a good depth move. If you can add a little bit of depth to the group, it speaks volumes, though, of how the team feels about, you know, Lagesson, how they feel about Jones, how they feel even maybe Chris Russell, I'm not sure. But
yeah,
it speaks volumes that they felt that they need to go and do that. Because they can't trust those other guys, but it's a good depth pickup. It is what it is. It's not gonna move the needle very much, I would think.
Yeah, I would have liked. Obviously, we saw that tweet from the boys on Missing Curfew. There, they said hearing Jamie Oleksiak coming to Edmonton. Obviously, that didn't happen, but that's a move I'd rather would have seen. You know, I think that's the player that they need. But
yeah.
Broad's thoughts. Yeah. Sorry, Vandy thoughts. Sorry.
I think the ask was probably maybe too high for Oleksiak out of Dallas, but yeah. Ken Holland, we're in the playoffs. We're going to make the playoffs.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Barring some thing. Let's see what this team can do. And I know, you know, we talked about it. Yeah. We got 1 or 2 year window with Leon and Connor, but fuck. Like, let's see what this team can do. We've seen this team over the last, you know, it's been a month since we've talked, and this team's looked good. Yeah, they've looked like shit, but every team's going through it. You see it day in, day out. And it's, let's see what this team can do. Let's, you know, see what Jones, when they, you know, they hit their full stride. You never know. You make the playoffs. Why give away the farm to make playoffs? I heard guys talking, well, you know, we haven't been scouting, hasn't been that good in junior. Why not this year give up a first round pick? Well, as you see, there aren't many first round picks going this year.
Like,
why give it up if you don't have to? Perfect. Kulikov, I don't know where he's going to play. I've seen projection lineups, but great deal.
Yeah.
Didn't give up anything. You slid it. You added depth. Your decor, perfect.
Yeah, no, exactly. Before we get to the segment where we all say we're wrong on the Oilers, Vandy, who do we have on the podcast tonight?
We have a local celebrity. You'll recognize his voice from the Kissin' FM 103.9 morning show, Chris, Jack, and Matt. It is Matt DeBurz. I hope I pronounced it correctly. I think I did. He's going to join us, and he posted a tweet the other day about how he wanted to get on to a podcast, and I noticed that there was a Calgary podcast that replied, and I said, fuck that, we will have you on and just have a little discussion, maybe talk about the Oilers and
exactly. So so we're wrong on Mike Smith. We're wrong on what, Darnell Nurse. We're wrong on probably Jesse Puljujärvi. We're might be
Caleb Jones. I was wrong.
You know, it hasn't been the greatest year for Caleb Jones, but he's still young, still room to improve. They got another year. He's got another year on his deal. See if Seattle takes it or not, but that's still a defenseman that's growing and maturing. But, let's start in goal. Mike Smith, we're wrong. I'll say I'm wrong. I question the signing. It's been a great signing. I can't even say it's been a great signing so far because I don't see this changing. I think Mike Smith, this is what he's going to be for the next remainder of this part of the season. And if anyone wants to look up his playoff stats, they are unreal. Obviously, I know what happened in the return to play. That is tough for anyone that has kids. And I think he has four kids and being put in that situation. Broads, start with Mike Smith and that.
Numbers don't lie. He's a fantastic goalie according to stats this season, right? They don't lie. He's really, really good.
Yeah.
And that doesn't mean I'm not going to be very, very worried when the first playoff comes and he's a starting goaltender. But stats tell you that he's a really good NHL goalie this season.
Yeah.
But I'm going to be worried as fuck when the playoffs.
And that's it. I think almost every Canadian team, might have that feeling, like Winnipeg has probably got the most, if it is Montreal, Winnipeg and Toronto and Edmonton in the playoffs, Winnipeg's pretty much gone the furthest. And then you got Montreal, obviously they got the Oilers who have, with the Connor McDavid era, they do have a series win under their belt. So the experience goes to that part, but Mike Smith, he played great in Calgary. Calgary got caved in against Colorado, but Mike Smith, his numbers are still pretty good, and the team couldn't score. But Bandy, thoughts on Mike Smith? He's obviously a guy that this team builds off of when his confidence goes. And I know on Hockey Night Canada, they talked about last Saturday against the Calgary Flames, which I think is a horseshit decision by the NHL. So, you can see it on Connor's face. Obviously, people know where we stand on this podcast with Kobe Cave, but that was bullshit. That game shouldn't have been scheduled, regardless. Like, it wasn't scheduled in the first place. I know they had to make up a game, but it just shouldn't have been that day. And they talked about Mike Smith, when you hit him or get into his kitchen, he gets rattled. But I'd rather have a guy like that wants to bring you in the fight every time, Bandy.
Absolutely.
Yeah, 100%. Why Connor's right. Why couldn't they play that game on Sunday? I sat watching the Masters and Hideki win, and why couldn't we have a late game on Sunday or 7 p.m. start on Sunday? And, I get it. Whatever. For whatever reason, they booked it. And I didn't know that at the beginning. And then it was the next day when I read Connor's thing and what he said. And I didn't even realize that I didn't put two and two together. I know they were talking about it through the game. But the emotional toll that it must have played on those guys.
And that's the thing, too. Do you think they wanted to be in a hotel in Calgary watching that? They probably want to be. Yeah. With that family. Obviously, I know there's the social 100%, distancing part, 100%. But they should have been right there with them, like that, not even just the players, the whole organization. And I had a brief chat with Stauffer this morning and we didn't get to that. It was a busy morning for both him and I, but I just, man, it just drives me nuts. And I think when you got the best player in the game there, Connor McDavid, he's on a, you know, talking, you know, and you can see how much it hurts him, but how much the frustration is.
Listen, who makes that call? Like, the league puts forth their schedule. Do teams have the option to object and say, look,
and that's it. I just think, you know, my view of it, and I should try to be careful, but I honestly think that's Sportsnet being like, we're not going to talking at Canada's in a row without a late game, because obviously the situation in Vancouver, they were scheduled for the late game the weekend before and they didn't get it. So I don't think Hockey Night Canada wanted to go two weekends in a row without a late game. And it was just easier to put that game there, which I don't think it was. I think there should have been something else, because they obviously had, you know, the Habs played the Jets earlier.
In Winnipeg?
I think that was in Montreal, if I'm correct. But so, you know, but Winnipeg's been dealt a shitty card. They've had a few Hockey in Canada games that started at 9 o'clock local their time, and obviously Toronto's going to always get catered to that 5 o'clock start, you know, here in Edmonton,
as soon as I found it out, I don't understand why they couldn't say, okay, look, this is happening that day. We want this team to be with the Cave family. Yeah. Let's do something Sunday.
Yeah, but Calgary could have played anyone too. They could have just
that's true too, right?
You know, like Calgary was they could have played. It's just, you know, I don't know all the facts and all that, but I just personally think, you know, the way it looks like and all that, and I know sometimes you should probably have the facts before you have it, but Connor McDavid obviously probably knew something that we don't know, and he seemed frustrated, right? So I just think, like Brody said too, they're probably, you know, they probably just didn't have a say in what was going on.
The one thing I do like about this, guys, when's the last time you heard Connor McDavid ever say anything that wasn't other than, yeah, you know, we got to play better, or we played well, or we did just
scripted
typical hockey answer, right? This is the first thing you've ever seen him speak up. And he not only speaking up, he's speaking up against the NHL. Yeah. Like, that's a huge, in my mind, for him to do something like that, that speaks like volumes, right? That's Connor McDavid doing that. That's never happened.
That was an ear, like, you know, you stand up, you're like, oh, like what he just said, like,
yeah,
like, it's just, that's what you need him to be. And, you know, if the NHL didn't listen to that, then something's wrong at that office. And I think that definitely, that message got sent loud and clear. And
yeah,
it was just a horseshit. That game might not cause much in their standings, but you know, it's just horseshit.
Yeah. The other thing that comes out is, I heard you say, Bosco, is when the best player in the game speaks, then you proceeded to talk about Connor McDavid. No, let's not just slide right over that. That didn't happen. That did happen, and it was about 2 minutes and 42 seconds ago that you happened to say that, and I will not forget that, and it's now recorded. So keep that, and I'd like that. You know, you always say, can we play a song? That's going to be my song for my intro.
Yeah.
It's my turn is just have you say that over and over and over. Please and thank you.
Oh, man.
Love it. Love it.
Oh, man. Yeah, too bad. I could edit that out, but I guess I won't. So, for the fans. So, yeah, it's anyways, back to the Oilers here real quick. I that's something I did want to talk about.
Hey, if we're talking about Mike Smith, we got Darnell Nurse is upped it to another level.
Yeah.
He's
incredible. We've
talked about it before. I understand. Go ahead, Brody.
I was just piping in. It's been incredible. Leads the, I don't know if he still does, he did the other day, leads the NHL for defensemen for goals. Like, that's fucking insane. Who would have ever thought that?
And not much power play time at all, right?
None.
So, almost none.
Yeah.
He gets the last 12 seconds, right?
Yeah, exactly. I you know what? I said this to Stauffer the other day. I said, if he gets to 20 goals and that keeps on going up, I just think he has to win. Like, I win it. And, like, I know everyone's picking Victor Hedman, but, man, what Darnell Nurse is doing in in a year where Oscar Klefbom is not there, and the Oilers are playing some pretty good teams too, and you know, this guy just keeps on getting better and better and better. Not only is he, you know, at the start of the year, he probably wasn't on the Olympic team. You know, he's right in that conversation. He's probably moved up the ladder on the left side of where he's going to be, you know, and I just think that's great. It's, you know, he's come a long way and he's proved a lot of people wrong.
Let's back up on the Olympics and all that stuff. He's having a hell of a year. Show me again.
Yeah,
but okay. he has done that, Vandy.
Hear me out, Bosco.
Yeah,
when Klefbom comes back, Klefbom gets that spot.
Well, that's if Klefbom comes back. Though, okay, right?
Not this year, but next year. I mean, moving forward.
Who knows?
And I want to see how he reacts to that. I want to see how he reacts to getting third or second pairing minutes as opposed to being the big guy. If you will, right?
Well, I want to say that's going to happen. I think he'd be playing. What's he playing? I don't know what he is. 24, 25, 26 minutes a night.
Correct.
Against the best players every single night.
Competition. We're going to see created competition within our team. That
beautiful.
You know, Klefbom's coming back, and when he comes back next year, I'm not talking about playoffs or anything this year, but next year, if Klefbom is back at the beginning of the year, we get to see that. Okay. Let's see who's going to be our one, you know, / 1A. Maybe they pair up. I don't know. Who knows?
And they are competitive athletes, man. They are going to, both of them are going to want that job, and they're going to fight for it. And it's going to, that only is both fantastically well for the Oilers, right?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
My biggest thing with Nurse, guys, is it's not like he's doing like, oh, he learned to skate or no, all he has done is less is more, right? He's learned just maturity is all it is. Nothing, no, sure, he's got a little bit better at stuff, but he's just calmed his game down, right? It's pretty rare you see him running around now. You're like, where are you going, Nurse, right? He's just very simplified his game. It's just pure maturity. Finally, it's figured it out. Yeah. Less is more.
Yeah, no, exactly. All right, well, we're going
to... What else? What are we... anything else?
We're missing the team that did the best in the best job today. We're missing the Florida Panthers. They got Sam Bennett and they got Brandon Montour. Those are two really good ads.
Yeah, very good ads.
Sam Bennett's going to be fantastic in the playoffs. Montour is tough.
And he's going to be rejuvenated, right?
Absolutely. Those are two really good trades. I know they're missing the big gun now with a broken leg, but, I mean, they've replaced him on the back end. I mean, obviously, Montour is no Ekblad, but... They made two good ads, and they are a really good hockey club.
Yeah, no. The big
great loss call, Ekblad. That's a great call.
The big loss is Ekblad, but yeah, for sure. They, you know, getting Montour, and, you know, that's probably going to spark him too and rejuvenate him. And, you know, you got to give credit there. Tampa Bay, they find a way to get another great defenseman in David Savard. You know, another depth defenseman, a defenseman that they know pretty well playing against them 2 years in a row here in the playoffs. You know, Colorado, they get their insurance in that Devin Dubnyk, right?
The big boys are taking a run, right?
And Soderberg back too. They got Soderberg.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, no, it's definitely been interesting. And, you know, obviously the New York Islanders a few days before the trade deadline, getting Kyle Palmieri and Travis Zajac, Lou Lamoriello, striking gold with his former club, the
New Jersey Devils. Palmieri had to shave his beard.
Yeah, it's just crazy that Lou Lamoriello's
the stupidest rule ever.
Yeah. He loves that.
And don't forget about Braden Coburn there too. I know he's getting a little long in the tooth, but don't tell me he can't jump in and play third line minutes in the playoffs, right? He just did it last year.
And then Eric Abranson, you know, he goes from Ottawa to the Nashville Predators. I kind of feel bad. He just had a kid last week too. So that's a tough situation for him. And, you know, the Vancouver Canucks with their COVID situation, you know, are happy that these guys are getting better.
Okay. Can you explain to me how the first Canuck to test positive for COVID gets traded?
Yeah. Yeah. Like,
the day after getting taken off the COVID list.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, there's something interesting there. You know, I wish
he's a young up and cut. Like, he was going to be a bright.
Yeah, he also obviously Vancouver. Gets traded to Chicago for Michael Highmore, who Oilers fans got to know pretty well here in the return to play last year in Edmonton. But it's definitely interesting. It's certain things you wish you could say and certain things you wish you can talk about. But
Nate Schmidt back to Vegas, like
so.
Is that right?
No.
I don't know. Yeah, I did not see that. So
I think you made that up, Clay.
Yeah, I think you're just making things up as you go.
Oh, you know what I did? I hit my thumb on the bottom and it scrolled to the bottom of my phone.
It's all good. The Canucks get a defenseman in Madison Bowie who, you know, it's kind of known in that BC area. You know, he was part of the Kelowna Rockets. So, and then, this Janmark trade, it was another three-way deal too. So, and that adds Vegas gets another depth player, good score too. So, you know, like you guys said, the big boys were doing their thing. But we'll be back with our guest, Matt DeBurs.
When you hire a contractor, you want things to go smooth.
Smooth as a driveway poured by Pete's Concrete.
You want a solid guarantee.
Solid as a basement floor by Pete's Concrete.
You want Pete.
Pete's Concrete. For sidewalks, patios, your leaky basement, Pete lays his reputation down with every job, and he offers you finishes and colors you won't find anywhere else.
You want someone who proudly puts their name on the work they do.
Pete puts his name in concrete.
Pete's Concrete.
As of today, I am leaving Grand Canada. I have signed Manscaped and the Lawnmower 2.0, a lucrative deal. It wasn't hard at all. I would like to thank my friends, family, and most importantly, my teammates. Being with Manscaped today, I consider myself the luckiest person to ever play the game. Thank you.
Mutz fans, our next guest is making his first ever podcast professional debut. Matt, we'll let you do your lonely lap after the podcast. You'll probably recognize this local celebrity's voice as he is Matt from the Chris, Jack, and Matt show on 103.9 Kissin' FM Morning Radio. Please welcome to the Mutz dressing room, Matt DeBurs.
Hello, fellas. Matt. Good to be here.
How are you doing?
Good. Yeah. I just got the kids down, so I get my 2.5 hours of me time. So here we go.
And you decided to spend it with us.
Pretty much. Yeah.
Yeah. So how does your, like, what does your schedule look like? Obviously you're on the morning show. What time, you know, obviously are you getting to bed? What time are you getting up? What time are you guys, you know, kind of rolling out obviously before you guys jump on the air? How does that schedule look like?
It used to be a lot worse when we started at 5:30, but that changed about a month and a half ago. Now we start at 6:00. So I'm up at, 5:00, a little after that. I roll into the station around 5:30. And then, show gets going at 6:00. And then usually around 10:00, the old boy, Chris Sheets, he wants out of there pretty quick. So we talk about the next day's show. And then I'm home by 10:15, 10:30. So I literally have the greatest job in the world. I don't care what you guys do. It is the greatest job in the world.
That is pretty great.
Yeah.
No, that's awesome. That is definitely awesome. So how long have you been with Kissin' Country, you know, in that station? How long have you been on with them for now?
8 years. Yeah, 8 years of Kissin'. I started doing weekends, but nobody remembers that because I was I was awful. But then, they put me on the mornings about 6 months after that and then kind of moved into this. Yeah, so 8 years in March.
Nice. So you're born in Edmonton, raised in Edmonton?
Yeah, yes, sir. Sherwood Park, proud. Played Sherwood Park hockey, Sherwood Park baseball, so
local boys through
and through. Better than St. Albert.
Oh, we have one rule. When I baseball is my big sport.
Brody's from St. Albert. So
yeah, and then my coach always never lose to St. Albert. We didn't a lot, so
well, I feel like you're lying.
I'm not.
I don't know you very well, but I feel like you're lying. One thing I always want to ask radio guys is you must have put in your dues, ended up in some small towns starting your career. You got to have some good stories about working your way up to the big time now that you're with Kissing Country.
I got pretty lucky. I did right out of radio school. I went to Nate. I took a practicum in Castlegar, BC.
Yeah.
Okay.
So
I'm in Kitimat right now, BC. I'm just working out here in Kitimat. So
there you go. Yeah, they had a junior B team there in Castlegar, and I did mornings there with a guy named Drex, who's in Vancouver now. He really liked me, and then so he left and got hired from that Kelowna or that company to Kelowna, and he said, "Okay, I'm going to hire you to do the midday shift in Kelowna." And I'm like, "I'm not qualified to do this. I was the most underqualified announcer in the planet." Anyways, they give me the job doing middays in Kelowna. I moved there, so I didn't have a bad path by any means. I quite enjoyed the Kootenays. It was awesome. I played baseball for the Trail Orioles for a little while I was there. It was a great time.
Nice. All right. Well, that's
awesome. So any talk about hosting? Like, how long did it take you for you to feel comfortable in that position? And you know, who's kind of gave you the first break? Is there anyone, you know, we talk about that in hockey, someone that believed in you, but who is, you know, a mentor to you, but who helped you out in that aspect of your career?
Definitely the first guy was Justin Wilcombs, Drex, the guy I talked about who gave me my practicum in Castlegar. He had my back all the way. Like, he gave one shitty announcer a job in Kelowna that he shouldn't have got. So I got that job and I kind of moved from there. And then I got laid off in that job, moved to the city. Kind of worked for Chorus Kissing Country while I was in school, and I met Chris Sheets there, and I told Chris, "Hey, what do you think?" I asked his opinion about moving to Kelowna and everything. He's like, "Yeah, go do it." And then I came back and I talked to him. He's like, "I need a job." He's like, "Do weekends." And then, you know, I said after this I was applying everywhere to get a job, and then he was the first one to say, "Well, you know, come on the morning show," because I came to him, I was like, "I'm gonna move. What if I came and answered the text messages on the show, helped you through social media?" He's like, "Okay, come in, let's try it." So that he was the one who basically had my back this entire time. Like, I should give a portion of my paycheck to that guy. He's the only reason I'm employed.
Yeah, he's a legend. Like, if you live in Edmonton, you don't know who Chris Sheets is, sums up with you. Like, so talk about him. Like, talk about the work and relationship that you have with him, because obviously he's a huge staple in this community. You know, he's done so much. You know, you go to Eskimo games, you go to, you know, BBJ, all these, you know, great events. This guy's always doing something to promote a good cause. So talk about him.
I mean, everybody's heard Chris Sheets on the air and he's like, "I really like that guy. He's a bigger beauty in real life. Like, one of the true nice guys." There's not a lot of us that are gonna get to pick our last day in radio. He's one of the guys gonna get pick his last day. Like, yeah. He's locked in that gig. He's an amazing man. And somehow he's raised two of the most well-adjusted children I've ever seen. He's a trash hockey player, but he somehow pots so many goals when we play rec league. The guy is unbelievable. He's a great guy through and through.
Yeah. That's awesome.
And I got to say the same for Jack too. Like, she's been amazing. Yeah. Like, the transition for the three of us has been incredible. Like, they're like family to me. So it's amazing.
Yeah, no, exactly. So hosting, how is that? You know, is there some good days, bad days, you know, kind of tips and, you know, advice for people that are in that position, you know, that would listen to this podcast?
It's hard. It's a hard business and it's only getting harder, but I still think there's room for talent. You know,
why is it hard? Is it,
it's getting just smaller. That's the big thing, right?
Competition.
Like, competition's tough. You know, like, the job I got in Castlegar, none of the jobs are there anymore. It's all syndicated, right? You know, in Kelowna, maybe instead of the three jobs for announcers there might be one job. It gets smaller, more competitive, but there's room for talent. There's always room for talent. So that means it's part of the grind. You got to go where the opportunity is. They'll teach you that in radio school right off the hop. You just got to go grind it out, get away from the city, because you're going to find your opportunities out of there. And like, originally I wanted to call hockey games.
Yeah.
And that's what I did at Nate. So I called, you know, the men's and women's games at Nate. I called the, you know, the Junior B Keystone Cup when it was here in 2011. I know you guys talked to Mooner not too long ago. I went down to Red Deer and I sat in a game with him. Great dude. And I realized, like, sports, you think it's hard becoming like a morning guy like me. It's even harder getting into sports, but there's room for it if you work, man.
Yeah, well, for sure. And you know, we've had Bob Stauffer on our podcast, who's with Course there, obviously with the Oilers too. But you know, and he's been great for me. Like, he's pretty much my kind of version of what Chris Sheets is to you, right? He's just like how great he is. But and he talks about how in life the people that always succeed are the people that grind. And you know, I think and I'm a huge fan, of course. You know, my Pete's Concrete, who's a sponsor of ours, also sponsors on Course too. So it's you know, it's a great company for sure. So talk about, you know, that company. Talk about how good Course is to work for.
They've been great. I mean, they still give me a check every week for being a fool on the radio. They literally like, Matt, okay, today you got to be stupid. I'm like, you got it, boss.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they've been fantastic. They're super supportive of everything during COVID. They're making sure we're all safe and comfortable. I had a, you know, ratings periods in radio, it's tough to get away. There's 6 months of the year where we're not supposed to take vacations, but I had my kid during the last ratings period. And so they're like, take time off. It's okay. They're just incredible. Even in this time of like uncertainty in the radio business and the media business, they've been fantastic.
Yeah, well, that's awesome. So we'll jump into some NHL stuff here. So what are your thoughts on the Oilers season so far?
I mean, making the playoffs, and that's just chip in a chair. Just get in, chip in a chair. That's all they need, right? And I mean, on the backs of McDavid and Draisaitl for sure, and Mike Smith's playing well. A little crack in the armor last game. Hopefully his age doesn't show too much, but yeah, been a good season. Darnell Nurse playing well with Klefbom out, and then the trade deadline stuff today, picking up the guy from New Jersey. That'll help for sure.
Yeah, no, Kulikov is a really good player. I actually got to meet him a couple of years ago. Friend of our podcast, Alexander Petrovich, who's a Edmonton product, former Oilers, good friends with him. And
I once raced him in a 100-meter sprint. Fun fact.
Oh, yeah.
How'd you do?
How did you do?
Piece of Chris Sheets' advice. I was like going in. I was like, do I go for the win? He's like, either you can be first or you can be memorable. So I speed walked the whole thing. Like an absolute asshole. There was Gizmo warmed us up. Yeah. You had Rager was there. And I'm like, oh God, during this whole warm up, I'm like, these guys aren't going to like what I got to do.
Yeah.
But I was memorable.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's Alex definitely... is a good dude. Yeah, I know he is.
Was this a celebrity thing or did you do it?
It was during that track and field.
Oh, okay.
Fire. Years back there. So yeah, they had like the celebrity 100 meter. I think I would have gave Alex a run for his money, but I.
Yeah. He doesn't move that good in ball hockey. So no, I'm joking. But, yeah, so, you know, obviously the Oilers having a great year. You know, what's your, you know, thoughts on Darnell Nurse? Obviously in this market, you know, we see what, you know, it's read on Twitter and all this other stuff. And he's been kind of a polarizing guy and, you know, for the couple of years past, but he's having such a great year. You know, thoughts on him?
It kind of like makes me mad because you're going to have to pay him now.
Yeah.
That's the tough part, right? I mean, the guy's going to have to get paid like a number one almost here. Even having those bridge deals, but yeah, a little shaky start, but he's definitely found his groove without a doubt. And playing well 5-on-5, that's a big thing too, right? Not getting a lot of PP time. So guys, you know, one of the better drivers of the puck 5-on-5, which is super important for this team without Klefbom. So
yeah. No, it's definitely well said. So you know, we were just talking before you jumped on. So what would you do, you know, if Klefbom comes back next year, let's say all things system ago, he's back, he's healthy. Are you putting Klefbom back where he was before, or are you putting Darnell Nurse, keeping him where he is right now?
I think he probably keep it as it is. And then, I mean, because he's playing with Barry, which is a question mark for next year, right? And then, you know, that Klefbom-Larson combo probably gets back together, you know, and then whoever slots in with Nurse, it's kind of like a 1A 1B kind of situation. Those guys are gonna eat up a lot of minutes, so yeah, I would let Darnell run with the ball a little bit, especially with Klefbom. That shoulder is tough, man. Who knows if he can play.
Yeah, And that's the thing. I don't know if he'll be able to either play. And if he can play, he might not be able to start the season two if, you know, if we're back starting on a normal schedule here in October. So, you know, it'll be a definitely interesting thing. Going into the playoffs here, obviously it looks like, you know, it's going to be Toronto, Winnipeg, Edmonton, Montreal. Matt, where do you see the Oilers best slotting in the first round? Who do you want to see the Oilers play?
Probably Montreal. I don't know. There's something about that Winnipeg team that scares me. And now, like, I mean, Toronto got better. Foligno, I think they're finally going to win a playoff round. Like, and then, you know, if you somehow get out of the Canadian division, you got to play some absolute studs in the other Western sides. So I think you want to get, you know, Montreal, but if that happens, who knows? Like, I don't want to play Toronto first round because they struggle all year with them, but, you know, who knows?
Yeah. And I look at it right now, out of those teams, the Oilers have a better record against Winnipeg than they do against, you know, yeah, Montreal and Toronto. So, you know, so that into my aspect, when I look at that, you know, like Leon and Connor, I don't even think they scored yet against Montreal all season out of all the games. It's just been a couple assists here and there, but you know, and the way it looks like things will slide, looks like the Oilers might even get that second spot. And, you know, if somehow they can get the first spot and play Montreal, you know, anything can happen. And the only thing is, those Montreal, you know what you're getting in price, and you probably know what you're getting in Hellebuck, and you don't know what you're getting in net with the Oilers goaltenders. You probably don't know what you're getting in net with the Toronto goaltenders. So that's definitely going to be a wild card, you know, situation that we're going to see. But, you know, thoughts on the Canadian division so far? Is this something you want to see happen going forward and playing more Canadian teams?
Yeah, I mean, getting a little stale now. You know, seeing the same teams over and over and over again, especially, you know, at the end of this year, end of the year, you know, I don't know if anybody saw it coming, but the races are almost done up north, right?
Yeah.
That's part of the staleness, right? If, you know, if Vancouver is healthy, you play Vancouver this week, eke out some more points, and then you're like, okay, kind of waiting for the end at this point. It's been okay, but, you know, you like the diversity in the league for sure, but you can do what you can.
Yeah. Is the Tampa Bay Lightning, are they still, would they be the cup favorite in your opinion right now still?
Who'd they get in the deadline?
So they got David Savard out of Columbus. That was their biggest move so far. So
don't sleep on Boston. That, like, Taylor Hall, like, having a career horrible year, right? I mean,
he
may improve his shooting percentage getting into the playoffs. You know, he doesn't have to be the guy there. So I like Boston too. Yeah, Tampa Bay, Colorado. I don't want to say it, but probably Toronto.
Yeah. I'm a Toronto guy. These guys are all their fans. The way I look at it right now, I think, you know, Brody kind of touched on it before he jumped on. It's, you know, the Florida Panthers did some nice little things with Sam Bennett. And who's the other move they got there, Brody? Was it Bennett and
they got Brandon Montour.
Yeah, Brandon Montour. That was another one. But, you know, Colorado, I think this is Colorado's year, in my opinion. Getting Devin Dubnyk, you know, Grubauer's had a great year. So if he does go down, I think, you know, having Devin Dubnyk as your backup goaltender is not a bad thing. I don't know. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I'd probably say they're the favorite to come out of that division. Dangerous, yeah, for sure. The weapons on that team. I'm glad we didn't have to play them too much. Yeah, it's a tough route for Edmonton. I've seen everybody on Twitter, you know, kind of getting on Ken Holland for not doing much.
Oh,
man. What else are you going to do?
Well, this is a topic we could all hit on here.
I know where you're going with this, but I want to know, how do you react to the negativity of not only Oilers Twitter, but just, you probably see it coming into your, like, how
text line.
Yeah, like, man,
I mean, it's tough.
I obviously a professional, I get it, but, like,
for me, it's different because, like, I always stand by, you know, I want them to make them feel something. That's my role on the show, is make people feel something. Just because,
yeah,
if they hate me, whatever, man, I don't care. You're still listening.
Yeah,
you probably like person, Jack. You got to have a heel on the show, so to speak. So I'll be your heel, no problem. But I mean, for a guy like Ken Holland, right? You just, in this hockey market, just getting, doesn't matter what you do, you're going to get roasted.
Yeah.
You want to hear the best tweet I read today? Ken Holland was a worse hire than Peter Chiarelli. Why?
That is trash.
Because Holland's previous 5 years were worse than Chiarelli's. and the process to select the second GM was supposedly exhaustive. Bob Nicholson is the worst professional sports executive in history. Just painfully stupid. And that's an Oilers fan. Somebody who likes the Oilers.
What do you want them to do?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, in the playoffs.
Do you want them to like go and steal the cup and bring it to your house?
Yeah. Exactly.
Like, I mean, they it's still so gotta win the friggin' thing. And I just, they're not deep enough. Like, they're getting close. And I mean, next, like this offseason with the big cap space, they'll have a shot to really make a push in the next few years. Like, why waste a pick?
I agree. This wasn't the year. They're not that, it's not like they're that close where you can just add one piece and you're contender, right? They have lots of holes they still got to fill.
Yeah, you can't just throw in a Foligno and be like, well, we can make a good run.
Yep. They're not that good. They're still good, but they're not quite there, in my opinion.
Yeah. So, Matt, thoughts on Ryan Nugent-Hopkins as a player? Obviously, he's coming up. His contract expires. What next deal would you like to see the Oilers sign him at if he does stay here? And if he doesn't, where do you think he may go in the offseason?
I think he stays. I think he wants to stay. You know, what does he want? Probably like 6.5, right? So maybe even a little.
He's getting six now, so
yeah, he's gonna want term. So yeah. I don't know. I give him, you know, 6.57 with term. Like, the guy outside of this is giving you some really good years, and there's guys getting paid way more doing a lot less.
That's true. Yeah. You know, Bandy, thoughts on that? Where do you stand on this?
You know, I agree with that, but at the end of the day, I think if you know, you have to look at where you think he's going to be in the next, you know, is he in your long-term plan? I think he is.
Was he 20? He turned 28 today.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, does
his birthday. There you go.
Oh, it is today. Well, happy birthday, Nuge. I don't know. I mean, he doesn't hurt shit, but he definitely isn't going to, I don't know. I'm on the fence with him because I don't, he's a small frame body and he doesn't move very well to me.
Huge?
Like, he just, I don't know if you put $6.5 to $7 to $8 million into him.
Okay. I'm then sorry. So if one of Draisaitl or McDavid get injured, which is bound to happen, then what? Then you're fucked.
Nobody
else to play center.
Yeah.
That could be a top.
I get it. Yeah, I get it.
This is the first time they've had center depth in, you know.
Totally. Yeah.
Let's keep
quite some time. Yeah, quite some time.
And he wants to be here. And he's a good human.
Yeah. You can find room somewhere else to pay a guy like that. That's how I feel.
Are you shocked that this deal's not done yet? Or is, you know.
No, I mean, there's always these things, right? What happened with Leon's deal? And, you know, it takes time.
Yeah. Yeah, I just think, you know, obviously you can see he wants to be here. You know, interesting part is the agent part of this. You know, the agent is, you know, doesn't have a whole lot of big end clients, and Ryan Nugent-Hopkins' next deal is going to be the biggest deal that his agent's ever going to sign. You know, the biggest deal he has right now is the deal that Jake DeBrusk is on. So, you know, it's definitely going to be interesting to see where that plays into factor and how much the agent influences is on, you know, let's go test the open market. But I don't know, you know, with the uncertainty of the cap.
What's Nuge? What's his high end? 80 points?
Maybe.
85?
Maybe. Has he even got 70? You know,
you ain't paying him more than Leon.
No.
No, right? Obviously he's not getting more than $8.5 million, but
I say 6 years, $6 million times 5 years.
Yeah,
I don't know if he keeps it even though. That's the problem, right? He wants a pay increase because he'll probably get it somewhere else.
That's the thing.
COVID, COVID.
I think with Arizona having a lot of money come off the cap, they don't have a lot of center depth. I wonder if that's a team that, you know, tries to make a pitch for Ryan Nugent-Hopkins. That's the only team I think might be a landing spot. But does he want to go there? So they're not ready to win right now, that organization, right? Obviously, the Oilers are closing the window, and they're going to have a lot of cap space this summer. But, you know, that could be eaten up like crazy. Obviously, like Matt just talked about, you know, you got Tyson Barrie to re-sign. You got Larson to probably obviously re-sign if you want to bring him back. And, you know, you got Klefbom's money coming back onto the books if he comes back too. So they'll definitely be interesting.
Bosco's a stat guy, as you can tell, eh, Max?
Just rattling him off.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
He's got cap game in front of him. Turn your screen around.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So cap geek, that's a good one. So
Matt, I got a question for you. What is your, like, I'm a huge, and by huge, I mean Eric Church, Dirk Bent, I'm a huge country music fan. What is your highlight interview?
Garth Brooks.
Oh, easily? Oh, okay.
Yeah, just Garth Brooks. Dirks is such a beauty. Like, I've talked to Dirks before. It's just like talking to a friend. He's like a really good guy. Have I told you guys, have you ever heard the story about how we played hockey with him?
No. So Vern Fiddler, who we grew up with, Rupp and I, and yeah, apparently he's, well, not apparently, he is good buddies with Dirks. And we're, Dirks, if you're listening, we're trying to get you on. But yeah, he told us about the hockey stories and how he calls Vern and he says, you know, what kind of stick should I get my kid? That kind of thing. So, yeah.
He played here. When was it that? It was like 4 years ago, 5 years ago. Anyways, he was doing an interview with our drive guy at the time, Greg Reynolds. And Greg's like, hey, I know you guys travel with your hockey gear. You guys want to play some hockey? He's like, yeah, for sure. He just gives Greg his cell phone number. So, like, Greg's walking around like, I got Dirk Bentley's cell phone number. What do I do? And anyway, so we're like, well, we got to play hockey with Dirk Bentley. Like, okay. It's also minus 30 out. We're like, dude, do you think he's going to want to play outside? Because it's the only place we could find. So anyways, we get this old rink kind of by Northlands. But this old couple manage it. They said, yeah, for sure. Come on down. We don't care if it's minus 30. We'll get the ice ready. So Greg phones Dirk. Dirk's like, yeah, me and one of the guys from my band, we'll come and play. So we get a bunch of guys from the military to come and like fill out the team. Bunch of people from the station play. We get a couple of goalies and we go out in minus 30 and we played hockey with Dirks.
That's awesome.
It was crazy because like you're in this, you know, you guys have been to outdoor rinks, like this bush little dressing room that's freezing cold, and then in walks Dirk Bentley. He straps his shin pads on the outside of his jeans. Okay, whatever, Dirks, I don't care, man, do you. And but like, not a great player. He's got lots of motor though. I was in horrible shape at the time, but the guy just goes. He's just straight line in it, a little bit of a bender, but it was so fun. Everybody had icicles all over their face. Like, my brows were frozen. It was like the world's longest game, right? It was just frozen solid. Had such a good time. He showed pictures of the game at the concert that night. We gave him a jersey. It was amazing. Yeah, Greg picked him up in his like 92 Acura. From like the Sutton downtown. Like, his shit's in the back next to Dirk Bentley's shin pads and stick. It was crazy. It was amazing. That was one of our best memories. Yeah, and talking to Garth Brooks, like, if you go to a meet and greet before like one of these country shows, like it's you like you shake hands, you get a picture, and then the next person comes up. Garth does it different. So if you there's like two meet and greets, there's like maybe five people in one group, five in the other. So you wait outside his dressing room. They bring you in, and you're like, you're not in like a backdrop pop up tent thing. You go to Garth Brooks's like dressing room. You sit there. He comes in, sits next to you, and then Trisha comes in, his wife, and there you're just like talking to him for like 10-15 minutes, and it's wild. Like, we brought somebody who's very sick who passed away from cancer, and he's like rubbing her back. Like, he is an absolute beauty.
Unbelievable.
Like, amazing guy. And he does that for every show he goes. He gives a couple of meet and greets, but it's not just like, hey, how are you? Here's a picture. Get it online. See you later. So, and the next day we were at the Hair Massacre. And then, well, I had my pink mustache. So how can you forget that? I had the pink curly mustache at the time, getting it shaved off. And then we're there just about to get it shaved off. And they're like, hey, guys, hey. I look up. We're at the rink there. What the heck's the rink? I forget what it's called now.
Ice Palace.
And Trish Yearwood's hanging off the boards, like waving hi to us. She remembered us thanks to the pink mustaches. It's just, it was
incredible.
Crazy.
Yeah.
It was crazy.
Incredible. A lot of great people in that industry too, right? So
I've had friends, lots of friends in radio that don't work in country, and they tell me horror stories of the people. I will say everybody in country music, whether you love it or hate it, are amazing. I haven't met a bad person yet. It's incredible. Wow. I'm like waiting for somebody to suck. And they all,
yeah.
And why do you think that is?
They want, for one thing, country radio still needs, or country music still needs country radio a lot, right? A lot of their sales are driven through radio plays, and a lot of the other formats, that's not the case, right? You know, like if you're listening to pop music, yeah, pop radio is important, but not like it is for country music and country radio. So they really respect country radio and give us lots of love. So I think that's part of it for sure. And I mean, good old country boys and girls. I just think got an air about them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
Anything else you want to add there, Vandy?
No. WrestleMania was yesterday. I haven't watched wrestling in probably 20 years. My kids are obsessed with it. I know you're a fan.
I'm not a wrestling guy.
Oh, you're not?
Not a wrestling guy. No, yeah. That's one thing I just can't wrap my head around. I get it, but not for me. Men's soap operas, but whatever.
Yeah. All right. There you go. No, I got nothing else. Is there anything else you want to talk about? Is there anything up and coming? And
no, I mean, COVID's here. Listen to our show. We'll entertain a little bit, I think.
How we met, you were on Twitter and you said you're looking to get into the podcast or get on a podcast. And I noticed that a Calgary podcast replied to you and I said, forget that. We're getting on there.
Yeah, I was in a radio buddy. He's like, you can come on my. I'm like, nah, this one's better. Anyways, let's stay
yeah, do that. Yeah, exactly. No, it's been great. You know, obviously, of course, you know, employees there where I know Brendan Escott too, who works at that station. So
good dude.
He's another good dude and good baseball guy too, I think.
I grew up the Bear. Is the Bear part of Corus?
No, but that, I mean, there's some really good guys there.
Yeah, like UConn. Yeah we grew UConn up with
Scott
UConn.
are amazing guys.
Yeah.
I can't say enough about those guys. They're amazing too.
So, Rupp and I grew up with UConn, so
the whole radio industry, like it's very small, so we all know each other, right? Even though we're competing against each other every single day, it's all love there for sure.
Yeah. Rhodes, you got anything you want to add? Anything else before we jump off?
Who predict your finals? Who's making the finals? NHL?
Oh, let's do that. Yes.
The top four.
After the trade deadline.
I don't know.
After the trade deadline too.
I don't know. You guys.
I'll go first. So I'm going to say, the way it's going to work is going to be interesting, but I think Tampa Bay, you know, comes out in one of the top four, obviously. I think the Penguins is another team. And then I think it's going to be Colorado and Toronto. So the way I think it in my top, those are my top four. And I think Sidney Crosby gets his fourth Stanley Cup this year. I think the Penguins win.
I think you're high.
Yeah,
I wish I could, but I'm
Boston's on that BC bud right now.
No, you can't do that stuff here in this camp. They got dogs everywhere, so it's no joke. But so Broads, you go next.
Colorado, Pittsburgh, Florida, and Toronto. I don't even know if that's even possible, but those are my top four.
Yeah, who knows what's going to happen? I'd like to. So whoever's listening, I picked Hideki to win the Masters. So
did you really?
Listen to what I'm saying.
Jeez.
Yeah.
Oh.
I picked him on Saturday, but nevertheless. I think it's going to be Florida. I think Toronto's coming out of the North. It's going to be a battle with Winnipeg. Colorado's going to be there. And who am I missing? The East?
Well, you got to break it down in the divisions, right? It's got to be one team out of those four.
What's the other division? Am I missing?
Who's that Northeast division?
Yeah, there you go. Pittsburgh. Yeah.
Well, they got the Penguins. They also got the Islanders. They're always doing damage.
Washington.
Yeah.
Washington, and Florida, Toronto, Colorado. There you go.
Okay, I'll go.
Hey, Matt, what do you got?
Edmonton. Should have made a deal, Holland, you idiot.
Yeah.
And then I'll go Vegas.
That's a good one.
Tampa and Boston.
I like it.
Good.
I sense a little Boston pride in you there,
man. I, you know, like playing NHL 94, Cam Newton, Adam Holmes. Those are my guys.
Nice.
Gotta stay loyal to them.
Awesome. That's right.
All right. Well, we appreciate you joining us. This is awesome. We'll have this link sent out in a few days here. So, and we'll tag you in it. So we can't thank you enough and look forward to having you back on.
Yeah. And we'd love to get you back on again and chat more.
I got some good baseball stories if you want them too.
Yeah, for sure. Always leave the fans wanting more. So
that's right.
Yeah.
Little crumbs. That's the
only exactly. Yeah.
Thanks again, Matt.
All right. Thanks, boys.
All right. Take care.
See you later. All the best to you and your family.
Yeah, you too. See you guys.
Cheers.